Happy Valentine's Day. Can anybody guess what I'm going to preach on today? Oh man, y'all are smart. I'll bet you might even be able to guess the passage of Scripture I'm going to preach from. That's it. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. So if you turn there with me, and I want us to read through it, and I want to talk about love today. 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read the whole chapter, and then I want to talk about it. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now I want to talk about love this morning. And let's start off with what this says to begin with. It says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, I believe that especially in America today in the church, we got a lot of cymbal clanging going on. Because we talk a good talk. We are all about love. You know what? If we were to talk about love as it applies to religion, one of the things that you would hear everybody say is what? God is love, right? We like that. I like thinking about how much God is love. And that's why you hear people say, well, God is love, so He would never send me to hell. Really? You see, we have this flippant way of thinking about love. We say, I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my church, I love my dog, I love hot dogs, I love summer, I love banana pudding. We love everything, don't we? Have you ever thought about how much we overuse that word love? We love everything. Can I tell you that that's not biblical? You show me in the Bible where anybody went through talking about how much they love everything. The disciples, could you imagine? In the first place, if you had to follow Jesus around, there was no telling what you were going to get into. Man, Jesus, I love walking with you. Really? Let's go get out on a boat in the middle of a storm. Lord, I love walking with you. Really? Let's get out in a leper colony and start ministering to lepers. There was no telling what you would get into with Jesus. I have to believe that those disciples were afraid to say they loved anything. In fact, I think about it, and the only time I really see the disciples, they didn't really use the words love, but there was one time when they said, Jesus said, Lord, we would love for you to do anything we ask. He said, really? I said, yeah, we want one of us to sit on your right hand and the other on your left. We want to be the big dogs in charge. Jesus said, you don't have any idea what you're asking. That sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? We get so flippant about love. Can I tell you that the Bible takes love very seriously? In fact, so seriously that in English, we love everything. When the Bible was written in the language it was written, there were different words for love. You may or may not be aware that you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and he met the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. And you remember they were out fishing and he told them to throw the net on the other side and they brought in a bunch of fish and they had a fish fry there on the beach. And a little later on, Jesus took Peter off to the side. Now you remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times, hadn't he? And three times Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Now what we don't see there is Jesus said this. He said, Peter, agapas me. That's agape, God's love. Do you love me with God's kind of love? And Peter said, Lord, philos, I love you as a brother. See, there was a different connotation there. And Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. And he said a second time, Jesus said, Peter, agapas me, do you love me with God's kind of love? And Peter said, well, Lord, philos, I love you like a brother. And he said, well, feed my lambs. And a third time, Jesus said, now listen, the third time Jesus said, Peter, philos me, do you love me like a brother? And the Bible says it grieved Peter because he said that third time, philos me, do you really even love me like a brother? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. And you know I philos, I love you like a brother. Now, love was a very serious thing, and there were different degrees of love. And we talk about brotherly love, and that's when I've got friends that I will love all my life. I've got a buddy. We've known each other since seventh grade. He's a pastor in Fairhope. And we have been buddies forever. I talk to him at least once a week. My kids call him uncle and aunt, although they're no relation. And their kids call Vicki and I uncle and aunt. That's brotherly love. But then there's a godly kind of love, and it's a love that is self-sacrificing. And you see, I think that in the church today, our motto, we say that we love, and we use that word love all over the place, but when it comes to the way we practice, we say, I love you until it gets too hard, and then I don't love you anymore. That's why marriages don't last very long anymore. I was with a young lady. In fact, these friends of ours that I was just talking about, we were in the car with them, and their daughter is contemplating getting married probably very soon. And I told her something. I said, and we all chimed in. We said, let me tell you something. If you're waiting to find the perfect marriage, you're never going to find it because it doesn't exist. Marriage is hard work. Because you know what it is? Here comes this young lady. These young ladies sit on the row in front of me every time I'm here. When you get married, you're going to think, oh, my husband is going to meet all my needs and make me so happy. You know what he's thinking? Oh, my wife is going to meet all my needs and is going to make me so happy. I have a dear friend that's an evangelist. He said, A lot of couples, when they get married, they're like two ticks with no dog. And you see, what we don't realize, and look, I am guilty. Some of you know my story and how I almost lost my wife because of my selfishness. Now, let me tell you something. I finally had to learn that a marriage is about loving the other person more than you love yourself. And until we really learn to do that, we're not going to discover what God means by loving. Now, we are flippant with love because love really isn't love when it's easy to love. Think about that for a second. Look what it says here. Verse 4. Love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does that sound easy? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then look what it says. Love never fails. Now, do you think it would have said all of that about love if love was just easy? See, love isn't easy. In fact, I want to suggest to you this morning that we may not really understand the real meaning of love until it hurts. Let me see if I can explain that. I believe that love is just like a lot of the virtues of the Christian life, a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. They don't really have meaning until it's hard. Let me give you an example. Here's a man that's an honest man. You know, it's great to be honest when it's easy to tell the truth, isn't it? But let's watch this man when it becomes painful to tell the truth, when it may cost him greatly to tell the truth. Now you're going to find out, is this an honest man? You understand? It's easy to say we have faith when it's easy to believe. But let me watch a person have faith when it's really hard to believe. Love. Even Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 in verse 44, he said, if you love when people love you, even the worst sinners do that. Big deal. And he went on to talk about how we ought to love our enemies. It's hard. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to love someone when they betray you. It hurts to love someone when they humiliate you. It hurts to love someone when they mistreat you. But I want to say to you that those may be the very times when you find out if you really know what love is all about to begin with. Love isn't really love if it's easy. Now, let me say this. We have seen love demonstrated in our lives from time to time or around us. I have seen parents that love their child so much that they will watch them suffer because it's good for them. I have seen, in fact, let me put a little commercial in here. I've seen parents that time after time after time after time, they bail their children out of trouble. Can I say something to you? I question whether that's really love. I think that may be loving yourself more than you love your children. I'm going to tell you, it takes a special kind of love to watch your child suffer consequences for the choices they've made, and you know you could stop the pain, but you know that that's for their good, and you love them enough to watch them go through it. That is hard. It's hard when you tell a child how much you love them and they turn and say, I hate you. And it may be that that is the very time when we really understand what love really is. There are women that have loved their husbands, even though their husbands are abusive. There are men that have loved their wives, even though their wives have lost respect for them and looked down on them. My dad lived with a difficult woman, my mother. And I can remember in first and second grade begging my dad to divorce my mom. And my dad died in 1999. They had been married 57 years, and my dad stuck it out with her. He loved her. He loved her when it wasn't easy to love. I want to say to you that I believe that that is a scriptural principle. In fact, I believe it's so powerful because let me tell you what the Bible says about God. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated His love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know, it would have been good enough if the Bible would have said God is love, and the Bible would have said God loves you and wants a relationship with you. You know, that would have set Him apart from any other god in this world. Allah doesn't love you. Allah doesn't want a relationship with you. Allah doesn't cherish you. Neither does Buddha or Confucius or any of the other myriad of gods out there that claim to be gods. But our God loves you so much that it wasn't enough just to say, I love you. He demonstrated His love by doing almost the only thing He could do that could hurt Him. He took His own Son who was innocent, who was pure, and He sent them into this world to become one of us. And if that weren't enough, and by the way, we didn't even get into the fact that He was born in a stall, in a stable. But if that weren't enough, He allowed Him to die, not just as a criminal, but as a heinous criminal. The worst execution that could be imagined, that's normally set apart for rapists and murderers on a cross. How could God watch His precious Son be treated that way? And if that wasn't enough, He loved us so much that He wanted to be able to have a relationship with us. And He knew that we would never be able to be holy enough. And so He took our failings. He took our ugliness. He took our failures. And He piled it all upon His own Son. And Jesus paid the price for us. I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen The Passion of the Christ. There's a scene in the movie where Jesus is just about to die on the cross. And all of a sudden you get this huge bird's eye view where you're looking down, you know, you're almost up in the atmosphere looking down at Jesus dying on the cross, and you see this huge teardrop fall. And I have to believe that that's the way God felt as He watched His Son, who was so faithful that He fulfilled God's perfect will by being willing to take the sin of the world upon Himself and pay for it when He didn't deserve it. God demonstrated His love for us like that. I think that's more proof than we could ever ask for, that love may not be love until it hurts. A love that won't hurt is not much of a love, is it? A love we give up on isn't much of a love. You may be here this morning, you may be a husband and wife, and you may be ready to give up. Can I tell you something? I am living proof that if God can save my marriage, if He can change my selfish heart, He can change anybody's. And if God can give me a wonderful marriage, He can give anybody a wonderful marriage. Don't give up. Now let me tell you this. I've said all this. We talked about Peter being there on the shores of Galilee, when Jesus said, Peter, do you really love me? What if He were to ask you that question this morning? You know what, if I said, how many of you love Jesus? Boy, yeah. Let me ask you something. How is your love for God demonstrated? Has it ever hurt you to love God? You know what's sad, and I believe this is true, in churches all across our land, is that there are people that sit in pews every Sunday that have no idea what it's like to love God to the point that it hurts. Because you see, how many of us love God that we might put our job on the line? How many of us love God so much that we might give up a friendship? How many of us love God so much that we might choose different habits? You see, what we're so busy doing in America today as American Christians, we're too busy asking God, Lord, can I be a good Christian and drink? Can I be a good Christian and smoke? Can I be a good and have all these vices in my life? Do y'all not see that? Is there something wrong with that question? We ought to be saying, Lord, how can I demonstrate my love for You by going so far that it hurts? And we are weak and shallow. Because the truth is, you know, when we ask those kind of questions like, what can I do and God still be happy with me? What we're saying is, Lord, how can I act like I love You but love myself more? That's what we're saying. And so today, of all days, Valentine's Day, I think today ought to be a day when we say, Lord, my love for You is going to be demonstrated differently than it's ever been before. I'm not going to take the easy road anymore. I'm not going to just love You when it's easy. Because you know what? That's what we do to God. As long as it's easy, I'll love You, Lord. But when it gets hard, I'm not going to love You anymore. Or at least I'll put it on the back burner. Let me read to you what Jesus said. Jesus said, in John 14:15, if you love Me, keep My commands. If you love Me, keep My commands. You see, we want to love God without it being demonstrated in any fashion. Let me read to you a quote that I ran across out of I Love My Utmost for His Highest devotional, and it was in there. It says this, we don't consciously and deliberately disobey God. We simply don't listen to Him. God has given His commands to us, but we pay no attention to them, not because of willful disobedience, but because we do not truly love and respect Him. Wow. I want to ask you this morning, do you love Him? I want you to picture Jesus saying to you, do you love Me more than these? Really? How is it going to be demonstrated? You see, we'll love God until it's going to cost us money. We'll love God until it's going to make us look bad at work. We'll love God until we might lose a friendship. We'll love God until maybe I've got to put my wife ahead of my own desires. We'll love God until maybe I need to put church as a bigger priority in my life. This morning, I want to challenge you on Valentine's Day. Maybe today we need to say, you know, I have allowed the devil to convince me to buy into a cheap, shallow love. And I'm not buying it anymore. And I'm going to recognize that my love isn't really love till it costs me something. One of the things I realized in my marriage is that if I really love my wife, she has to come first. If I really love Jesus, He has to come first. Are we really putting Him first? Is it really costing us something? Tom, where are you? Come on up. I want to lead us in a prayer. And Tom's going to lead us in a time of invitation. And if the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart, maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I've been cheap. I've been phony. And I have not treated you with the respect and love that you deserve in my life. And I am committing to you that today on Valentine's Day, 2016, that's going to change. What about